starting. I heard it say recording.
Well, yeah, recording, you know? But I didn't know we were going to start the show. Okay.
All right. Mike, what's up, bro?
Man, not much. How you doing, Mutar?
You see, I got an Asian homie today.
One moment, Mike. Yeah. Let's do an intro. All right, guys. What's up, what's up, what's up?
What's up, Mike?
We back at it again. We got a special guest today, though.
We got the homie Mike. What's up, man?
Top flight security of the world, Craig.
What up? What up? What up, Mutar? What up?
What up, Mike?
Asian connection.
They call me Mellow Yellow.
Mellow Yellow.
In fact, hey, Mike, you were on a movie with my cousin.
Who?
Mr. Chow.
Is that your real cousin?
No, he ain't. I call all Koreans my cousins.
You know, Koreans.
Hey, you know how all y'all look alike?
Yeah, exactly.
Look alike too.
Yeah. Exactly. That's why I said, hey, that's my cousin, even though he ain't really my cousin, but he is, though.
So what's good with you, Mutar, man? How's everything? Where you at? You in Indiana? You in Los Angeles?
Yeah,
where
I'm
you
in
at
Indiana. Yeah, I'm in Indiana right now. You know, in the summer months, I try to go back to my hometown. You know, my family's here. And, you know, Hollywood is kind of dead in the summer. So in the summer months, I go back to Indiana. And then when Hollywood sparked back up, you know, like in the fall, I go back to L.A.
Yes, sir. Yeah, yes, sir. Yeah, so and now that you got your comedy show tour going on right now, right?
Yeah, man. You know what? People always ask me that, but I never stop touring. I'm always on the road, man.
Of course. But yeah.
Definitely. Yeah, I know that, man.
That's always, my bread and butter.
You always in a different city, man. Anytime I hit you up, you somewhere else, bro.
Yeah, you know how I go.
Your next show's on Friday, right? At Arizona?
Yeah, I got shows in Arizona this Friday, and I'm in Sacramento this Saturday. So,
you're in Sacktown.
If you're out there in Sacramento, Arizona, go get them tickets.
Sacktown. Yeah, Arizona, Glendale, Arizona, not Glendale, California.
A lot of people don't know, Mike, because... You know, they don't know he's a comedian, but he's a real dude.
Yeah, I know.
You know what I mean? I used to always say, Mike, you really the 90% of the rappers, bro. Real talk.
Oh, man, I appreciate that.
Oh, actually, speaking that. Yo, Mike, someone told me, and I'm not going to say who, Muta, but someone told me that comedy saved your life, right?
Yeah, I think comedy did save my life, you know.
Like, it's a funny story. I want to hear about
you know what he talking about, Mike?
Oh, yeah.
I was telling about the story when you was in the trunk.
And you're like, yo, that's my jam. Can you play that again? That's something I would do, too.
Yeah. You know, and that's the thing. You know, I think God, and Mutar, you could contest for this, man. You know, other than being a black man in America, you know, if God bless you with a talent and you find your talent, however way you find it, you know, I think that in itself is a blessing. And that's what happened to me, man. You know, we all got stories of how we got in the business and how we felt, how we understood it was natural for us to become who we was, you know?
Yeah.
And that was a part of my life that, at the time that happened, I didn't know that I was a comedian. Yeah. You know, all of this stuff just flashback. That's just like you, Moo. I was looking at them pictures of you when you was young with them guns and stuff. And I'm like, this is before he was an outlaw.
Yeah, this was before them outlaw days, man. They don't know. I was already on the block, 13, 14 years old.
He was already thugging it.
And poetry, like
how
you got to comedy poetry, you know, where writing raps is what saved me. Because the drug dealers... You know, the elder gangsters in my neighborhood, when they seen that I had talent, they used to say, look, man, we ain't going to let you go down the same road we took, man. We're going to, whatever you need money for clothes, you need money for studio, don't sell drugs. You probably the only one that's going to make it out of the hood. You know what I mean? So they showed me a lot of love, bro. But I really want to tell that story, though, how you was in the trunk.
Yeah. So tell us, Mike, what happened? Man,
you know what? At the time, this was probably about 1990. 89, I was out there trying to sell dope at the time, man. You know what I mean? And you know, in the streets, man, you know, you're gonna run through some bouts that is gonna make you decide if that's what you wanna do or not. And that was one of them. Like, you know, some dudes put me in the trunk. They was out jacking, man. I was at this club called Bottom Line. It's on 38th Street in Indianapolis. Everybody from Knapp know where it is. I was at this club called Bottom Line, man. I'm out there in a convertible, Bonneville with Daytons and Vogues on it.
Bonneville.
And yeah, I had a 1970 Bonneville with Daytons and Vogues on it. I'm riding, man. And as I'm driving, it's a girl. I'm talking about fine in the parking lot, walking.
Oh, it's a
and
setup.
Man, everybody trying to holler at her, and I'm talking to her. I'm in the car riding up on the side of her like this, talking. But as I'm talking to her, she's walking, and I'm driving, and we're walking towards the back of the club.
Yeah. It's a setup.
I'm not even paying attention to her. She's walking. I'm driving. I'm like, damn. I turn around. I'm like, damn, we ain't even at the club no more. Like, we're on the side of the club. It's getting dark. Man, I look up, man, I hear something, bloop, 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 bloop. Man, a dude come right behind me, man, and put that big old chrome 357 on my neck. All I smell on his breath was liquor in the back of my head. Talking about, drive. Man, I turn around, try to look at this fool. I guess he had been jacking already, man. He had about 6 or 7 gold chains just hanging off his neck. I guess this the stuff he done took from somebody before he got to me, right? Hey, man, I tried to turn my face around, man. He slapped me with that pistol and said, drive. Oh, so I'm driving. He talking about make a right. He hit me on the shoulder saying, make a right here. Turn right here. Yeah. Man, so I pull up and he said, cut the lights off. I cut the lights off. It's another car behind us.
Oh, man.
I guess with his buddies in it. I'm sitting in the car with my eyes closed. I hear the door shut. Man, they arguing over the music in the car.
Yeah.
I got the kicker box. No, I got the amp is mine. I'm like, man, I wanted to look up and say, all this shit is mine, man. What is that arguing
about? Real talk, bro.
Yeah. They put me in the trunk. We riding around in the trunk, man. All I remember, it was some dirty clothes back there. You know, some towels where I was washing the clothes. Man, and they stopped at a stop sign, man. They was playing DJ Quick. Back in the day,
it was DJ dang.
Quick. And as soon as they stopped at the stop line, turned the music off, I beat on the seat, and the dude said, what? I said, play that again. Man, they fell out laughing in that car, man. They stopped, popped the trunk, made me get out the trunk, slapped the shit out of me, and I ran.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Saved your life, bro. Being
that
funny.
Saved your life, though. You being funny saved your life.
They was dying laughing, man.
Yeah, that's crazy, bro. But Mike, man, you came a long way too, though, man. You know what I mean? You came a long way, bro. And you haven't changed. You know what I mean? I knew you for what? I would say probably close to 25 years. Been the same dude, consistent, man. Never change on me. Yeah. Same dude. You know what I mean?
I appreciate that, man.
I always, and on the last episode, I was talking about when I left the music industry and I went through some difficult times. You remember, you know what I mean? I was stuck in the Middle East. I know you hate saying it. I know you hate me talking about it because you ain't looking for no praise. You know what I mean?
But you deserve it, bro.
But I was telling, man, when I went through some difficult times, when I lost everything and I was calling family and friends, the only one that came through was you, bro. You know what I mean? You remember that, right? When I was stuck in Abu Dhabi?
Yeah, but you know what, though? Mutar, man, I contested that, man, because, you know, that's how God works sometimes, man. Any gift that I give to someone, I always give the glory to God. I tell them that was theirs anyway, and God just gave it to me to give to you.
Dope. Amen, so to that. Amen always, to that, brother.
Yeah. The gifts always come from him, you know?
Facts.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So Allah chose you, man, to get me back in America, bro. I appreciate that, bro.
Yes.
And
yes,
got me back on my foot.
That's how Allah works, man. Allah works that way.
So what's new with you, though, Mike?
Well, you know what, Mutar, right now, I've been blessed. I have a TV show on Netflix now.
Upshaw's. I watch you, dude.
Dope.
Mr. Benny Upshaw in the house.
Hey, and your co-star? That's my future wife, Kim Fields. I had a big crush on her ever since living single with Queen Latifah. When I saw her on Different Strokes, I had a big crush on her. I was always saying hey, that's Mike, gonna be my future wife.
You gotta know Q, bro. He from LA, bro. He looked Korean or he looked Asian, but deep down, man, he got some soul in him, bro.
I'm hood.
He probably
I'm
ate more barbecue chicken than all of us, bro.
hey, he might be from. Are you from East LA?
No, I'm from downtown LA. Like Staples Center is like two blocks away from me.
Koreatown.
Well, no, I was right outside Coastal Koreatown. Cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's too many white folks in Koreatown. I'm like, what the heck is in Koreatown anymore?
He from the hood though, Mike. You know what I mean? You gotta know. I met this dude. I seen him on Instagram. I kept seeing his post. A friend of mine kept posting. I'm like, man, who's this Asian dude from LA out here in Riyadh? You know what I mean? So I invited him to the coffee shop. He came through, man.
And we just clicked right away.
You know, he from the West Coast, man.
It was like we family already, you know?
So you was already living there too as well?
Yeah.
3 years. He been out here for 3 years.
3 years, yep.
That is cool, man. Yeah. How that shit worked like that?
We waiting for you to come, man.
Hey, Mutar, I've been loving those pictures you've been posting of your grandma and them. And them was some,
thanks, bro.
Man.
Yeah.
Thanks,
them
man.
Them pictures are, they look so vintage, and they're like, that, those pictures are like pictures I would make, like I would put on a t-shirt. Like if I didn't know you, I would wear a picture of your grandma on my shirt. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they dope, man. You know, the one that I posted up a couple days ago, that was actually my great grandmother. She's my my mother's grandmother from Puerto Rico. It was my first time seeing this photo. You know what I mean? My mother's side of the family, I think I told you before, they from Puerto Rico. And then my father's
Puerto Rican.
Yeah, my father's mother. I posted her yesterday, I believe. You know what I mean? Because I was raised by some great women, and I appreciate the love. You
great
know?
Women,
great women, especially my grandmother, my father's mother. Man, she. You know, we was some bad kids, man, like 8 or 9 of us in the house, and we took her through it, but she always been patient with us, always showed us love, man. Similar to you was raised by your moms. You know what I mean? So the love from a woman is just unmatched, especially the grandmother's love. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. And y'all all look alike, too. Everybody looks like. Them jeans was serious.
Yeah, those some strong jeans, huh?
Man. Yeah, man. But I, you know, one question I always wanted to ask you, I think you might have told me, but I forgot.
Yeah.
And I wanted to ask you, how did you meet how did you and Tupac meet?
You know, I met Pac because from Gaddafi. Gaddafi was a childhood friend of mine, which Gaddafi is considered, you know, Pac always looked at him as his little brother. So I met him when I was young through his mother, probably like 7 or 8 years old, lost contact with him. When I was around 13 years old, I was writing, you know, I was trying to be a rapper at that particular time. And I ran into his mother again. And, you know, I told her that I'm trying to be a rapper. And she was like, you know, my son Yafeo, because Gaddafi's real name is Yafeo. She said, my son Yafeo is also trying to be a rapper. In fact, his half-brother is Tupac Shakur. She was like, do you know who Pac is? At that particular time, Pac, he already had one album out. So I already knew. You know, growing up in Jersey, I really didn't listen to East Coast music back in the day. I love West Coast music because
Is that right?
That was my environment, bro. Like, I was seeing 13, 14 years old, already seeing people getting their head blown off, already around people selling drugs, my brothers, my cousins.
Right.
I was already in that environment, so I was always related to West Coast music.
So you didn't listen to East Coast music, huh?
Rarely. It was rare that I didn't really relate to it. Until, you know, you had some legends back. You had some legends like Kool G Rap, Nas, you know, certain legends that always spoke about streets.
Did you ever listen to Freddie Fox and them dudes?
You know, Freddie Fox, a real G. I remember OG. he came to the high school with us one day, and I had a homie named Akbar. He can rap back in the day. He passed away. Lord have mercy on him, man. He was a big dude. And Freddie Fox was with Queen Latifah and them G. And you know Queen Latifah from Irvington.
Yep.
I don't know if I ever told you that, Mike. Queen Latifah, my peoples. Like, I knew her. Like, I know a family. She used to come kick it at my aunt's house. Like, I knew her before
dad
I met Pop.
And all them.
Yeah, her mother used to teach at our school. So Freddie Fox came to the high school, and one of my homies like, let's battle. And Freddie Fox is like, okay, if I battle you, if you lose, we got to fight.
Oh.
And
hands.
Yeah, Freddie Fox had hands. I remember the whole high school shut up. Nobody wanted to battle him after that. You know what I mean?
That's so crazy.
Yeah, bro. So he was a legend, man. So I always related to West Coast music, you know, NWA, Ice Cube. And then when I heard about Pac when he first came out, I already knew who he was. So when she told me Pac is the half-brother of Gaddafi and he's going to be in New York, a couple days later, I hopped on a train and I met him. And from that day, we just been connected.
Yeah.
Up until he passed away. I was about 14
years
old.
And then how did the other outlaws perform?
Well, when I came around, it was already Edie, Castro, and Gaddafi.
Mm-hmm.
But the names was, you know, Young Gaddafi name was Young Hollywood.
Yeah.
Edie was Big Mouth. Castro was K-Dog. So when I first
came, right?
Yeah, because Castro is a blood cousin of Pac. You know, that's Pac cousin.
Yeah.
They mothers are, you know, sisters. And then Gaddafi, pretty much his brother. Mouk is also like a relative. Yeah. Big Edie is also like a cousin. So they was already there. And what happened is, when I came around, we did a song called Killing Fields. And when we did that song, man, when Pac heard it, he started crying. He was like, man, this is what I was trying to get out of y'all. And I was mad. You know why, Mike?
Why?
Because Pac was like, man, I'm putting you in a group with them. I wanted to be solo. Yeah, I wanted to be solo. I was mad as hell. Like, man, I want to be in a group with these dudes. But then we just all became
so
family.
You didn't sign up for no group shit.
Yeah, I wanted to be solo, bro. I was a little moo. I wanted to be solo. And then we clicked. We became family. So he ended up, you know, putting me in a house with him in Atlanta. I lived with him. And everybody in the Outlaws had a connection. We was related one way or another. Like, you know, Young Noble came from Gaddafi and Fatal. Yeah. Fatal Block. Fatal came from Gaddafi. So all of us was brought in by a relative of Pac. You know what I mean? That's why we was like family. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it looked like y'all had been together forever.
Bruh. And you know what I mean? And we was like family. Because the way Pac had us, man, he was making sure that we rappers were to always remember you street dudes. He wanted us to stay like you guys the street dudes, but you rap on the side. If I need you, you guys got to get down. That's how he was having us on, you know, that military stuff.
That's,
you know,
where the that's why the group was so strong. That's why it was so. That's why he was so smart when it came to that. Because you know, that was really first. Everybody didn't have an opportunity to be a street guy first, so that was smart that he.
Yeah, he didn't want us to lose that. You know
yeah,
because,
you know, Mike, you know the new kids these days, you know, the mumble rappers and all that, they talk about, oh, I'm a thug, but they're born with a silver spoon in their hand, or they're breastfed until they're 18 years old. You know, like, that's the thing I hate about the new age rap right now. Like, they talk all the smack, and they try to, you know, front like they something, but they not.
Real talk, man.
You know? These are real
G's. We really was from that area. Like you, Mike. Like you, really was from that area.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I
mean? Y'all really. And that's the thing. You know, when I see Pac and the Outlaws, I always think about. It always reminds me of.
You used to say Bob Marley.
Bob Marley and the Wailers,
yeah,
man.
The Wailers. You used to always say that to us. I remember every time we ran into you.
Because they was some riders. They wasn't just no Jamaican singers. Them dudes was it was some, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Bob Marley's house got shot up. Them dudes was all them dudes that
they're
he was with,
too.
The Wailers. Definitely. Dudes was gangster, man.
Wow. And that's how Pac was, bro. I remember one time I almost caused one of the security guards. I got to tell you the story, Mike, this one I knew Pac was a little, he needed to calm down a little bit. When we first moved in his neighborhood in Calabasas, they used to have, you know, security that used to roam the neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. We not used to that. So we just moved in the neighborhood and Pac had us trained where whatever we see something, report back to him, like on that military stuff.
So
we was on a hill in his backyard. And I remember a car parked
guns,
on the side.
Guns, rifles, right?
Yeah, the car parked. And no one got out the car. So I went to Pac like, yo, man, a car just parked across the street from you, a man is sitting there. He didn't get out the car yet. He sat for like 10 minutes. Pac was like, oh yeah, click, click.
Yeah.
AR-15 to somebody.
Exactly.
AK-47 to Gaddafi. Glock, Castro, Edie. We all had guns and Pac went up there. He got on the ground and he was like military. As soon as he got up, was about to shoot, the guy jumped out the car.
I'm security. Yeah. But you see, in the hood, if a car is just sitting there, he's either casing the place or about to do a drive-by. That's why.
So Pac, and that's one of the reasons he got, you know, the situation that happened to him, because he never separated himself. He wasn't the type of person that said, you guys go do it. He was always the one who's going to do it first. You know what I mean? unfortunately.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But yeah. Well, you know what? It was, that's just a, you know, he the heart that he had, man, you just couldn't replace it. You know what I mean? And he had that heart in any situation. Real that's talk. What was made it bad. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Real like, talk, yeah. He couldn't separate
that heart in any situation. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so
man.
So when you coming to Saudi, bro?
When you coming?
Hey, man, you know what? I want to get a vaccination shot.
Yeah, yeah.
But because they about to stop the bread if you don't get the shot. Yeah. I thought about all the cocaine I snorted over the years.
all the booger sugar.
Get a shot.
Yeah, that's what I be saying. Jokers be scared about the shot. Yeah. I be saying dudes on their Instagram posts and drinking liquors, smoking weed, talking about I'm scared. I ain't getting no vaccine shot, but you just inhaled a whole key of dope, man. What you talk about the vaccination shot? Yeah, man, you got to do what you got to do, man. May God protect us from what's in the shot, the harm from
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely, you know what sir.
I mean. You just got to go. Yeah, gotta man. Do what you got
to
do,
but,
man.
But I enjoyed. I had a chance. I went to Abu Dhabi, but I really wanted to go to Saudi Arabia. You know. Ever since you came back, Mutar, you went that one time and you was telling me about Mecca. I still can't get that out of my head.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Dope.
But it's good now, dope. Though.
Yeah, he got to come, man. When you come, you'll be able to experience,
we got
man.
You. We got you.
You know what I mean? You know it's 80,000 Americans in here.
My ex-brother, are you Muslim too?
No, I'm Christian.
He's Christian, man.
Yeah. That's Muta's trying. Muta's trying, though. He's trying, but...
I've been trying with Mike, too.
Hey, Mike.
So, you know what? But you know what? I this is the thing with me, Mutar. I might not study or anything, but, man, I have a whole lot of ways. You know what I mean? I really, really... I got a lot of ways about me that are... some of my decisions, some of the ways that I think is very, very similar to Islam, man. You know, in my own life, just naturally.
Yeah, of course. You know, I always felt that.
You know, some people have natural similarities to religions in their own life personally. You know what I mean? My thoughts and beliefs. Without reading the book, you know what I mean? Like you told me one day, you said... A real Muslim is born Muslim, whether he knows it or not, you know?
Yeah. We believe that a person is born on the fitra, meaning the natural disposition to believe in God. No matter where he's at, he's born to believe in God. You know what I mean? Because a Muslim just means one who submits to God. You know what I mean? So I used to always tell you that. And Q, you know, he's not Muslim. But that's another thing, Mike, a lot of people don't know in Saudi Arabia that they make it seem like if you're not Muslim, here is unsafe. Q would tell you, man, it's one of the safest places on earth.
But before I was coming here, and he after was scared, I got here, I was scared. I ain't gonna lie, you know, I was scared. But after being here, I was like, oh, dude, it's chill. And now that I noticed that Islam and Christianity is similar in a way.
Yeah.
You know, like the Old Testament of the Bible and then the Quran is the same story.
Has a lot of stories.
You know, same scripture.
Definitely.
It's just the New Testament, you know, the Christians veered off different way and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Same with the Mormons and all that. But, you know, we all believe in the same God. And,
it's only one God at the end of the day.
I noticed that Muslims, they're really generous, though. They're really friendly and generous. It's all about, like, doing right by people. So that's one thing I learned being in Saudi Arabia. So now I'm cool. I'm cool being here.
Yeah, and I think Islam saved Mutar's life, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
He did, bro.
Absolutely.
You remember that last album you did, the video shoot?
Yeah.
Never Forget.
Yes.
I mean, that was some of the best.
You know what's crazy
is
Mike, because when I did that album, a lot of people don't know that was the best that I ever done, lyrically. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And then
man,
I got more into my religion, I had to walk away. But you know, now they're gonna release the album, it's out of my control. You know, because you know, Johnny J wife, and you know, they spent $300,000 on that album. And just because I'm Muslim and I don't agree with music now doesn't mean that it's not their rights. You know what I mean? So she just contacted me last week, like, I'm sorry, I tried to hold off on 20 years out of respect of your religion, but I'm releasing it And I believe soon. So I said, this is your rights. Yeah, I told her.
You gave him the blessing, right?
I said, I can't really give him the blessing. They own it. You know what I mean? I explained to him that when we done it, I was Muslim. I walked away. But still cannot take away from you spending your $300,000 as a Muslim. That's your rights. I can't promote it. I told her I can't promote it. But they putting it out, she said, man. The lyrics was the dopest because, you know, I still write poetry, Mike. You know, I still write poetry. So I always look at it because even poetry in Islam, it has a connection. You know what I mean? So, you know, so she got to do what she got to do.
Hey, you was spitting on that. I'm still I'm still trying to get that video we did.
Yeah. Which one?
I need to get that video so I can post it. That Never Forget, that shit was hard, man. With Val Young. Val Young.
Yeah. They got it. I think she about to release all of it. You know
she's going
to
release it soon.
I told her it's out of my hand, but, you know, and I want good for them because at the end of the day, Johnny J and his wife, Kat, they did treat me like family.
Yeah.
You remember, Mike, you was in the studio with us every day. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I was in the studio. Yeah, every day.
Every day you was up in there with us. Man.
And to listen to them hits, man, that Johnny J, boy, he was putting that whopper on you, man.
He was a legend, bro. A lot of people don't know that. Like, imagine getting a call like Johnny J only worked with Pac, legends. Yeah. And then I get a call one day, he was like, Moo, out of all the Outlaws, you the only one that I want to do an album with. Are you ready? So I was like, of course, man, I can't turn this away. You know, I miss Johnny J, man. He died, passed away a few years back. Maybe
Johnny J was a good dude, man.
Good dude. Yeah.
But I wanted to ask you, this is one of my dreams, my wishes.
Yes.
And, you know, I've been wanting to hit Swiss Beats and Nail and tell them, we need an Outlaw Junior Mafia versus, man.
Oh, Swiss Beats.
You know, they might do it.
We need an Outlaw Junior Mafia versus, man.
You know, they might do it, though. Even though, I can't be involved in it. But you know what's crazy? I'll tell you this about, you know, I spoke with Lil C's on the phone for a long time. I don't know if I ever told you this story.
Right. No, you know, I never knew that.
Because
that's crazy.
Like, after the Pac and the Outlaws, like, we had our problems. If we would have ran into each other, probably would have been some, you know, issues. So I guess one day, Noel was calling a lady that he knew, a girlfriend that he knew, or vice versa. And one of them was to get either Lil C's was with the girl or Noel was with the girl. They both knew her or whatever. One of them was with the lady and they snatched the phone. And they started arguing on the phone with each other, Little C's and Young Noble. And then it got to the point, the arguments got to the point where they like, why are we really arguing? Like 20-something years later, 15 years later, we lost Pac, we lost Biggie. Like, why are we even arguing about this stuff? You know what I mean? Like, why are we still doing it? What's the point now? So then they just became cool. And one day, Noble hit me like, Little C's want to holler at you. And I spoke to him, man, and it was all respect. It was nothing but love. Because we was like, man, we just hated each other because of who we was riding with, you know what I mean? So even to this day, we speak to each other every once in a while on Instagram, I mean, and things like that. So you never know. You be hating people for no reason. When you actually get to know them, you be like, these people are really cool. And I believe that if Pac would have lived long enough, and God knows best, I believe he would have squashed that beef with Biggie. Because I heard Pac, I used to hear Pac said out of his own mouth that I don't really want nothing bad to happen to Biggie. He said it, I heard him. He said, I just want to spank him a few times like a little brother.
Yeah.
I can understand that. And you know what? From looking at that whole situation, it looked like it was a whole lot of outside people that made that thing bad, man.
Yeah, they blew it out of proportion.
A whole lot of outside people that didn't have nothing to do with it, who had their opinion that chose sides, man. You know,
exactly. Yeah.
That's exactly how that East Coast, West Coast beef happened, man. You know?
It blew out
but that was crazy. That was, you know what was always crazy to me? It was crazy that you guys was from the East Coast.
Yeah.
But riding with the West Coast, right?
And that's how you knew it was really never East Coast, West Coast beef. You know what I mean? Because Pac used to always say, I'm from New York originally.
Yeah, he's originally from East Coast.
And Pac said, I don't hate the whole East Coast. He just had some issues with some people from Bad Boy.
Yep.
And that's why right before Pac died, he called, like, who was it? Smith and Wesson. Mm-hmm. Buckshot Shorty. What is it? The Black Moon in them. He called them all out to LA. And that's why he did music with them.
Yeah, Red Man and Method Man.
Method Man. He was trying to show the people, like, look, it's not about East Coast and West Coast. He was really trying, man, but then his life, you know what I mean? I know for a fact, God knows best, but I think he would have squashed that beef with Biggie.
I think so too. Yeah, I think it probably been
a couple boxing matches, but
I think he was about to.
Hey,
but I got respect for Lil C's, huh?
I said they doing that celebrity boxing thing. Pac was talking about putting them gloves on a long time ago.
Yeah, he been with the box Puffy in a match. Yeah. So it probably been in some boxing matches that everybody would have hugged after, man.
But Mike, you gotta get with Swiss Beatz on that. That would be dope. And you know, I got a lot of love for Swiss Beatz. I met him a while back.
He come out here a lot. You know that, right? Huh? He comes here in Saudi Arabia a lot. Swiss Beatz.
Oh, I need to link up with him. Yeah. I don't know. I don't think he remembers me, but I remember. It was New York Fashion Week. It was Empire, the TV show Empire season 2 premiere in New York. Yeah. And it was during the same time as Fashion Week. And I was there because of Fashion Week. Because one of my designers was showcasing.
Okay.
And so I went to the Givenchy after party.
Yes.
And I'm in there and I bump into somebody in Swiss Beatz. And I'm like, oh, shoot, sorry, my bad. You know?
Yeah.
But you see, Swiss Beatz is a guy from like behind the scenes. You know, he makes the music.
Yeah.
So nobody ever knows what he looks like. So I didn't know that was Swiss Beatz. And he's like, yo, come hang out with us. So I went inside his little VIP section.
Yeah.
And then this girl runs up to me. He's like, how do you know Swiss Beatz? I'm like, Swiss Beatz is here. Where? And he's like standing right next to me. And I'm like, oh, snap. But he treated me so good, even though I was a nobody to him.
He comes out here a lot, man. I got mad love
for him.
Shout out to Swiss Beatz, man. Because I did a lot of ignorant stuff, Mike, when I was going through what I went through. The first time and the only time I met Swiss Beatz is when we was going through after Pac died. You know, I seen him in a studio in LA and I was like, yeah, man, you need to tell DMX. This is why I got a lot of respect for him too.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, yeah, you need to tell DMX, man, when he come out here, we going to get him. Because he was dissing Pac.
Yeah.
And Swiss Beatz like, man, you tell him. So that's why I have respect for him, because he's like, man, you tell him.
He's like, that's your problem, not mine.
Yeah, he wasn't acting scared at night. He's like, no, you tell him when you see him. Because I was like, when you see him. But he come out here in Saudi a lot. He come out here, man. You're going to laugh at this though, Mike. You probably think it's a joke. But he got he actually got a camel. He owns a camel racing team.
Here?
Swiss Beatz.
Here?
Yes, in Saudi.
Dang, you see, nobody even knows about that.
On his page. Yeah, he getting that camel Arab money, bro.
Yeah, man. Yeah,
Mike, man, we appreciate your time, man. You know what I mean?
I'm a huge fan, by the way, and I use a lot of your stuff, and your stuff saved my life. Like,
wow.
Not like save my life, but like, I try to be funny.
Yeah.
But and there's times, because I have a big forehead, so I remember All About the Benjamins, and you just posted it too. You know, You'll never find blum, 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 a hairline like my. I use that punchline a lot. Like, I got a five head. I don't have dreams. I have movies. You know, like, I use that a lot. Everything. Top Flight. Holy Moly's Donut Shop. I use all of that. Mike, you my man.
Q got a lot of love for you.
I got mad love for you, bro.
I appreciate it,
man. We'll be in LA soon. We'll be in LA soon.
Okay,
and
man. Definitely. Thank you.
I'm going to make you my crack chicken.
Man.
Definitely.
Thanks for having me, and I appreciate you, man. I love you, brother, and incredible, man. Let's keep doing it, man. I'd love to come back on the show, man.
Let's do it,
actually,
man.
The next time you come back on the show is when you actually come visit us.
You'll be in Saudi, bro.
I'll buy a plane ticket.
Do it.
I'll buy you a plane ticket.
Much love, man. Thanks, love you, Mike. Be safe out there, bro. Thanks for your time.
Love you guys, man. God bless you.
All right, bless.
Take care.
Alhamdulillah.
All right. Salaam alaikum.
Salam.
Hi, peace.
Love you, bro.
Yeah, Mike, a real one, man.
Yeah, man. Oh, it's always good to meet one of my idols, you know?
Yeah.
Dang.
So I ain't know you be stealing Mike Epps jokes, bro.
All the time.
That's why you been having me laughing. I'm thinking it's original. Thought he was original.
Yeah, right?
Chris, what you call him?
Top Flight.
Top Flight, man. I'm about to take flight on you, bro, because you stealing Mike Epps jokes, bro.
Hey, but I told him I am, though. So that's, that makes it okay. That makes it okay.
He's one of the few dudes in the industry that, you know what I mean? Like I said, he was consistent from 25 years of me knowing him.
Yeah.
Well, close to 25 years. Consistent, bro. You know what I mean? Because people switch up. You know what I mean? People switch up. Even when I became Muslim, he was one of the most, he was supportive.
Yeah.
I remember like the album he mentioned, and he was in the studio every day. So when I told him I ain't dropping an album, he was like, man, I respect your choice, but I think that's the best music you ever done, or the best music we ever heard. Release it, you'll blow up. But I was like, no, I can't, because of my religion. He always had that respect and love. You know what I mean?
But when they do release it, though, I'm going to be the first one to
you
be
probably
like,
will oh. going to be, bro.
Yeah. But no. I remember
a real one, though.
That the movie Hangover, I never liked those movies.
Yeah.
you know. But the only reason I watched the first one was because my cousin, Ken Jeong, you know,
Mr. Chow. A doctor. You said he was.
He's actually a doctor.
And then he became a comedian
for Kaiser Permanente.
Kaiser Permanente.
And then
they were selling stocks, man. I should have bought some over 20 years ago, man.
But the typical Korean, you know, he's a doctor.
Wow. So that means my parents
wanted me to be a doctor.
That means you got a chance then, bro.
No. You don't want me being a doctor.
If he just switched up and became an actor, you can be a doctor. Shoot. Bro.
You know, so let me tell you a story. There was in the military, there's this thing called a green to gold.
Yeah.
It's where when you're enlisted, you could actually
go to
college and the army will pay for it.
Okay.
But they had this program for the medical industry, the medical side, where they'll send you to college to become a PA, a physician assistant, which is basically a doctor without the doctor title.
Okay, I feel you.
I do the same thing as a doctor does.
So you did study a little bit.
I was about to do it. But then I remember some friends of mine was telling me, yo, you can't be a doctor, man. You're too ghetto to be a doctor. Nah, and and I thought about it. I'm like, you know what? You're right.
Nah, you can't let them persuade you, bro. If someone comes to me and says,
hey, I have a paper cut. Chemo. Give them all chemotherapy. I was like,
you
chemotherapy.
You killed anybody there, bro. They're good.
Especially those.
Allah didn't write you to be a doctor.
Especially those people who like to look up their symptoms ahead of time.
Yeah,
and
bro. You can't do that, bro. You look up a symptom nowadays on. You think you're going to die tomorrow.
Yeah, and they come you have a headache, paranoid.
Bro. You all of a sudden, you Google, I have a headache on my right for 2 days.
Yeah,
all
you
of
have
sudden,
gastrinitis, symptomitis, or something like that. And you're like, what the heck?
Google, have you messed up,
You
bro.
Come to me and you tell me you have that? Bro. And I'll be like, where'd you get that from? Google? Chemo. That's all I'll do. You got chemotherapy then. You know, screw
man,
it.
But they get paid for that,
Yeah, they do, though. They do,
chemotherapy
though.
Is a business.
Yeah.
When my son had cancer, man, I was shocked the way they was... The lady came to the hospital and she was like sat down and spoke and it was heartless.
Yeah.
It wasn't, oh, how's your son doing? They was like, do you want chemo? This is what we can offer. Okay, think about it. Bye. I'm like, God damn, man.
Yeah, right?
Like, man, you ain't even say how your son doing, but you want to get pumping with some chemo.
You're right?
You know what I mean?
No, but yeah, oh, man. Dang, I forgot to ask Mike. When he goes back to LA, have some In-N-Out burger for us.
Definitely, bro. You know, they got something out here that they... I think it's the closest to
I know what you're talking about. California burgers.
Burger, California burger, man. You might got to give us a lifetime of burgers if we shot you out on the show, bro.
Hey, actually,
it's banging.
I remember I tried California burgers like 3 years ago when I first got here.
Yeah.
Even the wrapper was just like, the red pinstripe.
Yeah, yeah.
They just like,
I think they're Americans, if I'm not mistaken. I heard they're a few Yemeni brothers from the USA.
I'm so happy that they brought that here because, man, I've been...
We ate it 2 days ago.
Yeah, I've been itching for it.
Shout out to Q because he bought me some California burger to MW Cafe about 2 days ago.
Yep.
Bro.
We ordered California burgers and I murdered that. I murdered it. Yeah, it was good. It was
so
good.
So, yeah, man, that's... you know what I mean? You know, we got a few things that's in the works.
Yeah. I mean,
you know what I mean,
with sports right now, I mean, because I know he was trying to watch the football game, right?
I think they might have a football game back home, right? Because I did
see Big Chris, is there a football game right now?
It is, huh?
Yeah, he's probably going to watch that.
American football.
Yeah, American. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, American football. Which is the fake football.
Nah, because these people crazy over here. You call it soccer, they ready to fight. Like, they never had a fight in their life until you call football soccer. All of these jokers crazy.
I remember everybody was like, Salam alaikum. Yeah, are you watching the game? It's like, what, the soccer game? It's like, what?
They get mad, bro.
They're like, they turn quick. You know,
the whole world is like that. The whole world you call football soccer.
Yeah.
I think America just wanted to get the Brits upset.
Yeah.
Because they call it centimeters, we call it meter.
They always do.
You know what I mean? They call it, what else? What else we like to be the opposite of the UK?
Shoot. Oh, dang. I'm not quite sure.
There's so many differences.
Yeah,
like,
many.
They just like to, if the UK call it a square meter, we call it a meter.
Yeah.
We just, you know what I mean?
If they call it kilometer, we call it feet. Or something like that.
We just like to be against you guys.
We like it's like UK's our mother and father and we're the kids. Whatever they say, we do the opposite. You know, that's how.
Now we trying to prove to them we don't need y'all.
Yeah, exactly.
Y'all old school. You know.
Yeah, but with sports, okay. So I've never been a baseball fan though.
Yeah,
I never been a baseball fan.
I played baseball when I was a kid. You know
I played
I mean?
It, but I can't watch it. I remember I went to an Angels game when I was little, and
I
don't remember because I slept through it.
Yeah, like, I don't think I want to go to a baseball
but right
game
now,
either.
Yo. Right now, one of my other cousins, they're calling him the next Babe Ruth.
And what team he plays?
Shohei Ohtani. He's from Japan.
He's with Japan?
He's from Japan.
He can play baseball.
But he plays for California Angels.
Dope.
Right now, he just, I think a week ago, he just hit his 44th home run. He has the most home runs in the season.
Shout out to Sean, what's his name?
Shohei Ohtani.
Shohei Ohtani. How about your boy when you were in Saudi?
Arigato gozaimasu. You know?
Wow.
Konnichiwa.
You know, when I was a kid, I used to actually collect Bruh.
We all did. Bruh. Baseball cards. Bruh,
I got robbed.
Bruh. Tops.
I had some old school, bro. I had some real legitimate baseball cards. And I used to walk like 30, 40, 50 minutes away from my neighborhood to Hillside, to Union, to all the nice neighborhoods, mm-hmm. and go and sell them to collectors.
Yeah.
And bro, I'd be 9 years old, 10 years old, and they was taking advantage of me, giving me a quarter for this. Y'all got to give me my baseball cards back, man. I remember, had some original ones.
I remember that happened to me.
Roberto Clemente, Puerto Rican.
Yeah.
He's a legend. Clemente.
I had a Jose Canseco.
I had a Hank Aaron. Card. Hank Aaron.
Whoa.
I had a Bob. What's his name? What's his name, man?
Which one?
Damn.
Old school? Are you talking about old school?
I'm talking about old school.
Pete Rose.
Babe Ruth.
Babe Ruth.
I had Babe Ruth.
The Great Bambino.
Bro, they got me, bro. I used to collect them. But you know, when you were a kid, you don't really know the worth. Yeah. So a guy give you a dollar and you give up 50 of your baseball cards.
Yeah, and I didn't know that either. And then someone told me about that. Someone's like, you sold that card. You know that card's like $10 and you sold it for 50 cents? And
yeah,
I'm like,
now, yeah.
So too, now, remember Beckett?
What's that?
It's a magazine where if you look up the card,
yeah.
It tells you exactly how much it's worth.
I don't even want to do that because I know they took advantage of me, man.
And, well, I did it because I'm
home.
Korean. You know,
I couldn't even go home and tell my grandmother, and I'm like, I just sold the baseball cards and, you know, for a quarter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But, you know, we was kids, though. We enjoyed that. Man, you know what I mean? But I played baseball, basketball. I pretty much sucked in sports, bro.
Yeah, your equal opportunity
baseball. Basketball, I was good.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. But football and baseball, my brothers and cousins, they was killing it.
They're killing
it. I just wanted to play because they was playing.
Yeah, shoot. Yeah, man. You know so I mean? Dang, that was good show. That was good. Yeah,
that was good,
Mike. It was
an
honor having Mike Epps on the show.
He's a real one. Like I said, man, yeah. Consistent for 25 years, never switched up. The same dude.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So yeah, bro.
But hey, real quick, make sure you Mike Epps is going to be performing this Friday at Glendale, Arizona. Buy your tickets on Ticketmasters. Support Mike Epps because he's a real dude. You know,
real
he's a real,
real dude.
Dude,
man. Family man, too.
His Netflix, you know what I mean? Upshaw with my future wifey, Kim Fields. Kim Fields. Shout out to Kim Fields.
Kim Fields going to say,
ancient Chinese
some
secret.
Kim cookies,
you know? I'll make you crack chicken every day. You know, come on.
She going to say, you better go marry Kim Jong-jin. Though.
Oh! Last episode, we gave a shout out to one of our guys, but we got his last name wrong.
Yeah,
so I want to correct it. Joshua Jackson. We call him Joshua Jackson because there's an actor named
what's
Joshua.
What's his name?
Joshua Johnson.
Joshua Johnson.
So shout out to Joshua Johnson. My bad. Man. JJ. Appreciate I'm going to call you JJ. Yeah.
Appreciate that
so,
love, man.
Oh, real quick. How'd you meet Tyson?
I
want to hear
Tyson,
this story.
Man. Well, you know, Pac had a lot of love for Tyson. They was real close. So I always heard about Tyson. Besides watching him on television, just his personal side from Pac.
Mm-hmm.
And I met him after Pac died, though. I was coming out of a hotel in Los Angeles. He was walking in, and we just connected and we exchanged phone numbers. And you know what's crazy? When I first became Muslim, real talk.
Yeah.
When I first became Muslim, I used to call Mike Tyson every day. I had no wisdom, no hikmah. Like, every day I call him, and I just want to talk about Islam, to the point where we were so tight that I remember he went to Chechnya somewhere and he was calling me from Chechnya like, man, I'm with all the Muslims here. They walking around with AKs to protect me, this and this and that. That's the first time I knew about Chechnya. Never heard about Chechnya being a small country next to Russia, but it's a Muslim country. Yeah.
Was he always Muslim or?
He converted when he was in prison.
Okay.
So what happened is when I became Muslim, I went through that stage where I was just excited. So he was a Muslim. So every day I wanted to talk to him about Islam. But as we know, even the Prophet Muhammad said, there's a time for this and a time for that. Don't overburden people with religion.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I didn't know better because I'm just excited. Then one day Tyson was like, man, can we talk about something else? He Muslim though, but he had a point. Like you can't always talk. He say hello and all I'm doing is talking about Islam until you get off the phone because you got to be balanced. So I remember he hit me with that. I was like, huh? Okay. You know what I mean? Like, what you want to talk about? So I knew Tyson from, we came out of the hotel. He was walking in. We exchanged phone numbers. And then we were signed. A lot of people don't know. We was this close to sign to Cash Money.
Yeah.
So Birdman.
With Juvenile,
Lil Wayne and all of them. Dang. So they flew us down to New Orleans.
Yeah.
And I think Juvenile was shooting a video where they wanted a lot of celebrities in it. Mm-hmm. So they had Mike Tyson out there. And I seen him again. And we just kicked it for a little bit. You know what I mean? And then after that, I think that's probably the last time I ever saw him. I wasn't Muslim, matter of fact. No. I wasn't Muslim when I seen him in New Orleans. The last time I saw him was in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I haven't spoken to Mike Tyson in a while. But our homie Badu Jack.
Yeah, Badu Jack.
Sent
Shout
me a
out
video.
To
he
Jack.
Said he was with Mike Tyson, and Mike Tyson gave salam. So salam to Tyson, Badu Jack. We're gonna get Badu Jack on here.
Yes,
homie.
I hope so. Badu Jack.
The homie.
Come on, champ. You need to come on. You need to come on. Come on the show. Join us too. Yeah.
Yeah, Badu is he the homie. He a dude.
Yeah.
For sure. He was in LA. He was in LA yesterday with my brother. Matter of fact, they called me.
With Mooney?
Matter of fact, yeah. Last night, I'm thinking.
Mooney's back in LA?
Mooney live in LA.
No, but I thought he... Oh, no, no. That was a while back when he was in Puerto Rico.
Yeah,
he's back in LA.
So he called me late as night on a video and I like declined it. Then I called him back. I was like, look, man, it's 1 o'clock in the morning. Why are you calling me on video?
Yeah,
like, I'm with Badu Jack. And so we spoke to him.
Badu just put... Jack just posted it. Yeah, okay. I got you. Yeah. All
right. So what else is up, bro?
No. I mean, that's it. Yeah, that's about it. Yeah.
Until next time.
You know, shout out to 1886, our fashion partners again. Hopefully next week, our collab is gonna be coming out. So make sure you stay tuned for that.
For sure.
We got more surprises on the way, special guests and so forth. We got the giveaway coming up soon. It's not ready yet, but it will be. So stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
All right, we out.
Till next time.
Deuces. Peace.
You gotta hit him up.
All right. Goodbye, everybody.
All right.
Yeah. We out.
Dope. Another dope one under the belt. All right.